the world is watching. As Donald Trump prepares to become the 45th president, many are waiting to see what policies will emerge under Trump's leadership. Environmental regulation is one of them. A year ago, the U.S. joined more than 100 nations signing the Paris Agreement, which sets forth actions to slow the effects of climate change. Now, some analysts believe a Trump administration may be poised to withdraw U.S. participation that could significantly roll back greenhouse gas emission standards. My first guest today is chair of the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism here at Michigan State. Eric Friedman is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who formerly wrote for the Detroit News, and he's just returned from an environmental journalism workshop in Kenya, an area of the world that's keenly watching America's next moves. Eric, welcome back to Current State.
It's good to be on the show again.
How did you find yourself spending a week in Nairobi, Kenya?
I was invited by the Graduate School of Media and Communications at the Aga Khan University in Nairobi to put on a week-long workshop for professional journalists from East African countries.
You were in Kenya on election day. Did you have a chance to see how the election was reported in the Kenyan media?
In the run-up, there was a lot of coverage, including the endorsement of Hillary Clinton by the president of Kenya right before the election, obviously not casting any votes there. But it is the home country of Barack Obama's father and his half-brother. So there's that interest. And in fact, when I was in the city, somebody proudly pointed out the hotel where President Obama had stayed when he visited Kenya. But the journalists follow our election primarily on the international media. So they'll look at BBC, they'll look at CNN. So they know how we're covering the election. Their perspective is different because their interests are different.
Mm-hmm. What discussions, if any, did the election spark between you and your hosts or other journalists there?
The biggest topic after the results came in, what impact will this have on U.S.-African relations? You mentioned environmental, because climate change is a major concern in East Africa. Temperatures are rising. It affects the crops. It affects the invasive species. It affects air quality, which is a significant urban problem. Also concerns with trade and economic development and the kind of foreign assistance that the United States has given to Africa and elsewhere in the developing world.
What about immigration?
It's a concern in Kenya because of the proximity and the border with South Sudan. But East Africa, we have conflicts in Somalia, refugees from there, in Sudan and South Sudan, refugees from there, elsewhere in Africa, North Africa, refugees going to Europe, Ethiopia and Eritrea, two repressive regimes, a lot of political refugees, Democratic Republic of Congo, Central African Republic, civil war, militants, a lot of concern there, leading to more refugees, more refugee camps, and then where do these people go? They can't go home.
Donald Trump has spent a lot of time talking about how he'd like to rework or throw out a lot of trade agreements, and NAFTA and TPP tend to suck a lot of the air out of the room there, but there is a trade agreement that involves African countries. The African Growth and Opportunity Act was passed back in 2008. It was extended last year until 2025. Is this on the radar of the folks in
Kenya? Nobody talked
Kenya?
With me specifically about that trade agreement. They were concerned more broadly with U.S. support for economic development, which includes trade, but it also includes health services. HIV, AIDS is a problem in some of the countries there. Malaria, Ebola, those kinds of things which have medical implications, but insufficient health services by the governments. And Western aid from the U.S. and Europe is essential.
Did terror or security come up at all while you were there?
Not in the context of the election, but you can see in the capital, Nairobi, a lot of security guards in front of buildings. There are metal detectors at the shopping malls. This follows a bombing attack at an upscale shopping mall a couple of years ago.
And this is very interesting, though, too. You spoke about how you said the president of Kenya voiced support for Hillary Clinton, but Malik Obama, the president's half-brother, is a Trump supporter.
Right.
How interesting. Did you hear about or encounter much support for Donald Trump?
Nobody I spoke to, but of course I was dealing primarily with journalists,
right,
and perhaps a little more sophisticated, and with people at the university in the administration.
We do want to get to a little bit more in-depth question and content here involving the environment, which was really the reason for your trip. We'll remind our listeners, we're talking about the impact of the presidential election abroad, specifically in East Africa. Our guest has just returned from a week-long journalism workshop in Nairobi, Kenya. Eric Friedman is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and chair of the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism here at Michigan State. NPR aired an interview yesterday with Ophabia Quist-Arkton, the network's Africa correspondent, who noted that a number of African leaders have congratulated President-elect Trump, and some number of them are considered dictators with less-than-stellar human rights records. Does it seem to you that those leaders might be expecting the U.S. to ease off on some of the human rights accusations that they've been hearing for a number of years?
They're concerned with international courts, human rights claims, war crimes claims. And if the United States is not vigilant and aggressive in pushing for human rights, they'll be able to continue their repressive, often multi-decade-long regimes. In the countries I was at, I looked at the press systems there, and in East Africa, Rwanda, Somalia, Burundi, and Ethiopia all have not free press systems. Kenya, Tanzania, Botswana, Uganda have partly free press systems. And the indication of how free or repressive a press system is reflects the political freedom and transparency of the government, whether it's in Africa, the U.S., Latin America, Asia.
Climate change, as I think you've pointed out, is a real concern in many parts of the developing world, particularly in the Indian Ocean region. Tell us a little bit more about the discussion and the topics involving climate change that
sure,
you heard or you participated in.
A couple of them. I had Professor Jenny Olson from our College of Communication Arts and Sciences Skype in, and she talked about research she and her colleagues are doing in East Africa on maize. Maize is the essential crop. Climate change is affecting how well it grows or how it doesn't grow, the search for new weather-resistant species, and that's one thing that's close to the heart of Africans. Second, water is warming. It's contributing to problems in Lake Victoria, which is the largest Great Lake in Africa. So it promotes invasive species. It increases the negative impacts of industrial pollution and pesticides that wash into the lake. Air quality, major problem in the cities, particularly in the low-income areas. Climate change, warming temperatures make that more of a health problem. 500,000 Africans die each year as a result of air pollution, according to the World Health Organization.
You mentioned Lake Victoria, and you alluded to Africa's Great Lakes. The others, I guess, are considered Lake Tanganyika and Lake Malawi. Does Africa contend with the same kinds of water management issues as North America? You said invasive species.
Yes, invasive species. Microplastics are now showing up as they are in our Great Lakes.
Yeah.
Industrial runoff and agricultural runoff. Overfishing. The problem of development. There's sand mining near some of the tributaries that go into the lakes, and that's of concern because it damages the spawning beds for fish. Fish populations are smaller. They're overfishing. Just as example, in the 1970s, there were 12,000 boats fishing on Lake Victoria. Now, 60,000 boats fishing, another 2,000 added each year. Mm. So the smaller fish are getting caught. They're using illegal small mesh on some of the nets. And the huge demand for food in a growing population area is being adversely affected.
How do educated Africans feel here? Do they tend to feel there's not enough action on the environment, or are they between a rock and a hard place, or what?
And there's the balance between environmental protection and the need for economic development, for jobs. There's a migration from rural communities and villages into the cities. I was talking to a driver the other day. Where do these people work? Well, some of them have tiny little kiosks, or they sell things on the street. There's no industrial structure, no manufacturing structure that can accommodate a large inflow of immigrants internally within the country from poor rural areas and farms into the cities.
Eric Friedman is the chair of the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism here at Michigan State University. We're talking about his recent return here from Nairobi, Kenya, where he participated in a week-long journalism workshop. What he heard there, what he did there. A year ago, nearly 200 nations, including the United States, signed the Paris Agreement, which is viewed as the world's first comprehensive climate agreement. Its main purpose is to, I'll quote here, this is a little hard to follow, but I think we can all stay ahead of this here. Its main purpose is to hold the global average temperature to well below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. Donald Trump has indicated his administration may pull the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement. Was that discussed while you were there?
We didn't talk about specific agreements, but there's been climate change conferences in Africa as well. The week before I was there, there was a conference in Tanzania on climate change with both African and non-African scientists, and they're concerned about the impact of policy. Is it reflecting what science is telling us about the risk of rising temperatures? Regardless of whether there's a treaty or not, the problem exists.
Mm-hmm.
The scientists realize that.
Have you thought about how the developing world would be affected if the United States pulls out of the Paris Agreement?
My concern is that they will see that if the industrial countries, particularly the United States, are not taking positive steps to reduce emissions, why should they? We've been developed. Our industries have thrived. Why don't they have a turn?
Mm. Eric Friedman is our guest here on Current State, just back from a trip to Nairobi, Kenya. What's the most difficult thing about covering environmental issues around the world?
There's two. One is access to information in places, particularly in countries that are not free. And the second is that news media in the developing world usually doesn't have a lot of financial resources to travel, to put together investigative teams. One of the things we talked about was the desire for collaboration among journalists from more than one country to make it possible to cover issues like wildlife poaching, trafficking in ivory and rhino horns. They're cross borders. Air pollution doesn't pay any attention to political borders. So journalists in a region should have a way to collaborate and be encouraged to work together, not just on investigative pieces like the Panama Papers, but in general on ongoing coverage of environmental issues.
We got less than a minute, Eric. In this country and in the West in general, I would say, there is a school of thought that's critical of what it claims is overregulation because there's simply too much of it. And as you alluded to earlier, it hampers important economic growth. I imagine some number of people in Africa feel the same. Did you encounter any of that?
There's not that regulation itself is bad or inhibits growth, but that the governments that impose the regulations often don't take into consideration the broader interests. They're more interested in keeping power and the power and influence of the major industries, mining, logging, in particular.
We've been talking about elections and the environment here on Current State, particularly the perspective outside the United States. Eric Friedman's recently returned from a week-long environmental journalism workshop he helped lead at Aga Khan University in Nairobi, Kenya. Eric is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and chair of the Knight Center for Environmental Journalism here at Michigan State. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for the opportunity.